Turn over in your Bibles to John 14 this morning. As we read these verses, we're going to find that Jesus once again is reminding the disciples that he's leaving. He's leaving shortly, a matter of hours, as we know. The disciples really aren't understanding all that that means. They invested their life in him. They left everything they had, jobs, family, etc., etc., and now he's telling them that he's leaving. Again, in this passage, he's going to remind them that the Helper is coming. He is leaving, but the Helper is coming. And the Helper is one like him. A paraclete, I think, is the word in Greek. I don't know a lot of Greek. I know a few Greek people, and that's about as far as I can go. But the word there is one like me. I will send another one like me, and the Helper is coming. We know him as the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, and the Father is going to send him, and he is coming in Jesus' name. He also tells them the Holy Spirit is going to teach them all things. That the Holy Spirit is going to teach them all things. And he will bring to their conscience minds all that I have said to you. Now, when I read that, my job, this is not a job, this is just where Chuck and Dwayne and Andy and I serve, okay? We don't get anything for it except the blessings that you can't describe. But my real job is teaching over at SBU, and one of the things I teach is a course called Educational Psychology. And we basically, in that course, learn how people learn, okay? And so when I read this, that Jesus said, all I have said to you, he, the Holy Spirit, will bring to your remembrance. That caught my attention, knowing what little I know about this. You see, as human beings, when we process information, we receive sensory stimuli. All that means is that through our five senses, we interact with the world. So we see things, smell things, taste things, touch things, etc. All right? That information, and there's a lot of it in a day's time, as you might guess, goes to something called our sensory memory, all right? It's going to be there about 1 to 2 seconds, unless you focus on it, and then you can take it to your working memory. But if you don't do anything with it, then you lose that for all time, all right? What goes to the working memory, you have the sensory memory, what goes to the working memory then, it's going to last about 15 to 20 seconds there, all right? And if you don't do anything with it there, it decays and is lost for all time. The only thing that we retain is that which goes to our long-term memory, and if it goes there, then it's permanent. So when Jesus said here, all I have said to you, he will bring it to your remembrance. That is a miracle, because these guys are walking around with him, and he is teaching them, and you know they're kind of like we would be, kind of one of these kind of deals. Oh yeah, you know the kind of, and a lot of it just. But he said, "Everything that I have said to you, he will bring it to your remembrance." And I thought, "Wow, that's big." That's important. Do you see why it's important to read the Word? Do you see why it's important to study the Word? Because you may have just been reading over in Hezekiah somewhere, all right? There is no Hezekiah, all right? And you might have been reading over in the Old Testament, and just as you're reading through, and you don't know that you're ever going to need that, use that, etc. But then there's one day out there wherever. He brings it to your remembrance. That's what he said the Holy Spirit's going to do. You see that? You're not as excited about that as I am, are you? Let's read now in John 14, okay? Begin reading in verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. That's pretty big too. He will teach you all things, and here it is, and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Everything I've said to you in these 3 years, he's going to bring it back to your remembrance, disciples, the 11. Peace, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I am. You know, one thing about gathering at Thanksgiving, especially when your kids are grown and they have kids of their own and that kind of thing, is you find out how tremendously brilliant they are. I mean, I just sat up there this weekend over Thanksgiving, and I just marveled at how bright those little ankle biters at our house have grown up to be. And they discover what little you know, okay? See, it just reverses. They thought you were dead sad, you know, one of those kind of deals, and now it just kind of flips. Well, we were talking, I think it was Adam and I were talking, and he said, did you see the study that came out here a few weeks ago? Most people missed it because of the stuff that was going on in Columbia, Missouri, and that kind of thing. And he said that this study was released that I think the person or folks that did it got a Nobel Peace Prize for it. It was such a big deal. And what it had to deal with, okay, was that little background. In 1800, how long, what was the life expectancy of a person in 1800, would you guess? Anybody know? Did you see that this morning anywhere? 60. 37. In 1800, you could expect to live to the ripe old age of 37. In 1900, it catapulted all the way to 50. The idea is that the longer we have lived in this country as a people, the older we can expect to be. Now it's approaching 80s, I think, something like that. But in this study, they found out that there was an epidemic of a certain age group of people who were dying at a significantly greater rate. Significant means it wasn't just by chance, okay? But something was causing or happening to a certain group of people, and they were dying at a faster rate than they should. All the other age groups were about the same. Do you know who that was? 40 and 50-year-old men, white men, just did this, okay? The trend line just did this. And so they were fascinated by this. They got to studying it. Why are these men in the United States, why are they dying at a much faster rate than the other age groups, and contrary to what they had experienced as a group of people, 40 and 50-year-old men, previous to this? And what they found out was that these 40 and 50-year-old men were dying basically because of four causes, okay? One of the causes had to do with, let me get my notes here, okay? Drugs, especially prescription drugs, were related. Alcohol, liver issues, disease, and suicide. Those four causes were causing a spike in the death rate of 40 and 50-year-old men. And so then they started looking at this, and they said, well, why? Why? We're going to look at that this morning. Jesus talked about that thousands of years before this came about in our country. Okay? Do I have your attention? All right. What I want us to focus on this morning, then, is what Jesus was saying here is that verse 27, he is leaving, and he said, I'm leaving, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, he will show you all things, he will bring all things to your remembrance, and then he gives them a present. Did you catch the present he gave them? He said, peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And folks, the reason those 40 and 50-year-old men in our country are dying at a much faster rate than typical and all other age groups is because they lack this issue of peace. They lack the issue of peace. Did you follow that? Drugs, alcohol, liver disease, and suicide. And the liver disease, that's not an anomaly. It's just that a lot of those other things they're doing is affecting the liver. And the liver is one of those things you got to have. Okay? You can live without a thumb. Okay? Okay? You can live without, you can't live without a liver. All right? And so when that liver becomes impacted, we got some serious problem, and all these things are contributing to that. That's where that fits in. All right, so let's look at this thing of peace. The thing that this age group I've talked about are missing, and really, it's the thing that all humanity, regardless of where you live or how old you are, we crave this thing called peace. We crave it. And he knew the disciples were not different and they were going to need it. So first of all, I want us to look at the source of peace. Secondly, I want us to look at the secret of Jesus' peace. And finally, the security of peace. Jesus said to them, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give." Now what he's telling us here, there are a couple of sources for peace. There's Jesus' peace, the peace that he was going to give to them, and I believe that he gives to all disciples. A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. It's available. He gives that. That's the package deal, okay? When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are in the line to get the peace that he gives to disciples. You with me? All right? And then he said there's another source for peace, and that is the peace that the world gives. He said, "I'm not giving you that kind of peace. I'm giving you my peace. But there's this other peace out there." Now, some of you who know Hebrew, and I don't know that one any better than Greek, okay, know that this is a common greeting or salutation among the Jewish people. Shalom. You heard that? Shalom. Okay? It means peace. All right? Shalom. But the word shalom is more than just say, "How you do?" Okay? "How you doing?" It's not that kind of greeting or "We'll see you." It's not that kind of salutation. What it is a complete peace. It's a feeling of contentment, completeness, wholeness, well-being, and harmony. So it's much deeper than just saying peace. As far as the Jews are concerned, when they greet one another with that. But Jesus is even going beyond that. Jesus gives it a new and deeper meaning because he knew several things. First of all, he knew that true peace is what the disciples were going to have. They're going to have his peace. With what they're facing, and they don't know it yet, life is going to go upside down in a hurry. They're already hearing that he's leaving, but they don't know that they're going to be hated of all men because of him, and that most of them are going to die a martyr's death because of him. But they are also the ones that, in the midst of all of that, are going to have the peace that passes understanding. So that's what he's going to give them. He knew that true peace is what they would need. He also knows today that it's what you and I need and desire. We are looking for peace in our lives. And I'll share with you in a minute how you can find out what that looks like. He knows that there are various sources for peace, from the world and from him. Now, many of us know peace, it looks like this, okay? It's a sense that all is good. Remember that state of equilibration we talked about some weeks ago? You may not, okay? Don't worry about it if you don't, okay? That's when everything is okay, all right? Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Everything is all right. I don't have any stress in my life. You know, I just feeling good, all right? I have arrived. I am liked. I like myself. I'm significant. I'm respected. Life is good. It's that time when we arrive at those things and we just, it's okay. Yeah, I've arrived. I'm important to people and they know that I'm important. That's the world's kind of peace. Now, that's all the world has to give. You see, it's all about our performance, isn't it? And it's all about how people react to our performance. If all of that is in sync, then we have the world's peace. And we look for it in being famous and popular, wealth and possessions and status and beauty or handsomeness and positions and substance addictions, experiences and ability. All of those places are places we'll go to try to find this thing called peace. And this age group of men that we were talking about, a large contributor to their lack of peace and their search for peace was this addiction to drugs and alcohol in their 40s and 50s. And then this uptick of suicide among that group because they just finally said, forget it, okay? It's not worth it anymore. And they take their own life. So the world's peace, everybody's looking for it, and it's found in those things, trying to find it in those. They don't work. I think it's fascinating sometimes to hear some of these people who were really important, really did some significant things, some brilliant people, and they get to toward the end of their years, and they say, is that it? Is that all there is? Remember Solomon? Richest man in the world. He had everything you could ever want and more. Vanity of vanities, he said. Nothing. There's nothing there. That's the world's peace. You see, the problem with the world's peace is if you do get it, you can lose it quickly. If you do get it, you can lose it quickly. You'll think that you have all the money you're going to need. And then there's a deal that comes on the news the next morning, and there was a stock market crash, and you lost everything you thought you had. Or somebody absconds with your money. Or somebody burns down that big, fancy whatever you had that you were putting all your... Somebody burned it up. Or you go to the doctor... And, you know, you're just going in for a checkup, and he comes back in or she comes back in, and they look at you, and they say, I don't understand. I'm sorry. You don't have long to live. What? I was okay when I came in here. What did you do? He didn't do anything. But you see how quick it goes? That feeling that everything's okay and we're getting ready for the golden years. I want to tell you something. I looked over just, you know, I'm close enough to just look over into those golden years. They ain't golden, folks. They're not. Oh, you look back here and you think, whoa. But you get up there and they're not there. Peace, the world's peace. He knows, Jesus knows, that he is the only source for true peace. He wants nothing to do with the world's peace. He knows what it is. It's cotton candy living. You know, the cotton candy thing. You put it in your mouth, looks so good, tastes so good, okay, so big, okay, and you put it in your mouth and it's gone, right? Cotton candy living. He knows that the world's peace is just that. He is offering true peace. And he knows that his peace is dependent on him and the fact that he gives it to those who are his disciples. This morning, I just have to ask you as we move on from this first point, what is your source of peace? What are you planning on? You young folks, okay? You folks that are just getting ready to start life. What are you reaching for to give you peace in this life? Because you want it. Every human being does. The people who live in Rwanda today are looking for peace. It may come in a different form. They're hoping that they can get around the people who have the swords and trying to kill them, maybe. I don't know. But they're looking for peace. What are you looking for peace in your life? Do you have a plan? I want to tell you something, okay? If you're just coming out of college, you can't always just hang out. Okay? You know, the young people say, what are you doing? Just hanging out, okay? Well, I want to tell you something, okay? That may work in college, all right? Or that may work in high school, whatever it is. We're just hanging out. But there's going to come a day when the bell's going to ring and you have to answer it. You have to eat. You have to put clothes on your back, etc., etc. What are you looking for peace in your life when that happens? When that day comes when you are responsible for who you are? Let's look at Jesus' secret. The secret of Jesus' peace. Why is the peace that Jesus gives so special anyway? We have two types, the world's peace and Jesus' peace. Why is Jesus' peace so special and so superior? It's because of what it does. That's what makes it special. First of all, who it's from, but what it does. The world's peace is temporary and specific. We've already said that. You know, I have this, I've earned that, I got this, that kind of thing, and I have peace because of it. That's the world's peace. The world's peace is temporary and specific. It always has to be plugged in. To find peace in the world, you always have to keep it plugged in to the source of the peace. If that's your good looks, okay, good luck. All right? I know about gravity, okay? I know about the breakdown of the ends of the DNA of our bodies. I know what's going to happen, and I marvel at the people who it's happened to that still think it hasn't. And all they're trying to do. It's amazing. It's amazing. I heard the most pitiful story, and I won't give you any source so you'll never know who it is. But this elderly lady, 96 years old. Okay? 96 years old. She's in a nursing home. All right? True story. She's in a nursing home. The highlight of her week was to play bridge with some other ladies in the nursing home. Okay? Not putting anything to, I mean, that was the highlight of her week. I don't know, there were six or eight of these ladies that got together, whatever, a bridge, I don't know what, okay? But they got together and played bridge. 96, okay? The other ladies are somewhere. She had to be the oldest. That's a good deal, 96, okay? Anyway, the other ladies in the bridge group finally had it. And they kicked her out of the bridge group. The only thing she had to do all week, besides wake up and go to sleep, was the bridge group. They kick her out because she could no longer hold the cards in her hand because of her arthritis and because she smelled. They kicked her out. Wow. I heard that story. I wanted to cry. Have you looked in a mirror, ladies? You got some problems with this person that was in your bridge. Have you looked in the mirror? They had fake hair and fake teeth and fake everything else, you know, and they're arriving. The world's peace is temporary. Whatever you got, you're going to lose it. Or get more of it, unfortunately. Okay? And when it's gone, what is left? Jesus tells us here. When the world's peace is gone, what is left? A troubled heart and fear. Jesus' peace destroys a troubled heart and fear. That's what he said. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You see, the world's peace, when it is gone, the result is going to be a troubled heart and you're afraid. But when Jesus gives his peace, your heart is no longer troubled and you're no longer afraid. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Remember back in 14:1, John 14:1, "Let not your hearts be troubled," same language, "believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus' peace calms a troubled heart. Jesus' peace calms a troubled heart. And your heart will not be untroubled unless he untroubles it. And all the stuff you're searching for, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's the world's peace. Jesus' peace calms that troubled heart. You know what a troubled heart looks like, don't you? It's that grinding feeling within you, that agitation, that stress that's tied to events and circumstances that raises your blood pressure, causes ulcers and headaches, makes you grouchy and ill-tempered, causes fretfulness, causes us to worry, and causes those dog-kicking tirades that too many of us know too well. That's a troubled heart. That's a troubled heart. Jesus' peace eradicates a troubled heart. And only Jesus' peace will eradicate that. You can find a person who has little of this world's goods. They've lost the handsomeness or beauty that they may have once had. All of their contacts no longer call them or text them or anything like that. They're just kind of left alone. But they're at peace because they have his peace. Jesus said also, "My peace not only deals with your troubled heart, my peace drives away fear." My peace drives away fear. There are two fears that we have as human beings, a fear of failure and a fear of rejection. You can put all the fears that we have into those two categories, the fear of failure and a fear of rejection. What are we afraid of? Okay? As far as this fear of rejection is concerned, or failure. One thing that we're afraid of is we're going to lose some relationships. We're afraid as parents that we're going to fail at being parents. Now, don't you tell me this morning, ever how old you are, if you're a parent, that's a thought that's entered your mind. I don't know if I can do it or not. It's been fun to watch our daughter-in-laws when the first one was born, okay? They're freaking out, you know? What do you do? If this, well, you know, after about a couple, no biggie, you know. Yeah, it'll work out, kind of deal. That's why that number two child is the way they are. That's another story, another time, okay? You want to know something? If you want to be a successful parent, give your kids a knowledge and a desire to know Jesus. As early as possible, start. You say, "Well, you don't understand. My little one's still in what do they call those things? Carry them in things, you know? Yeah, carry in thing, okay?" Even if you can tell that I did a lot with this thing, okay? You could start then. Just start singing to them, okay? Just start speaking to them Scripture. And when they're old enough to kind of wiggle around a little bit, start reading them Bible stories. find you a very good Bible-centered, Bible-strong, Bible storybook and start reading them every night. Every night. It becomes a priority in their life. They'll begin to remind you, we didn't have a Bible story tonight. Let's do it. And do it. And you know what you're planting in that little kid in his or her mind? Because you're a big deal, Mama, Daddy. And when you speak something into their life, Mama said, Daddy said, it's a big deal. You're speaking the knowledge of and the things of Jesus into their lives. By the grace of God, I'm married to one of the most brilliant ladies in the world. She started that when our kids were little. Best memories I have, sitting in there on one of them bed, those three little old boys around there. And we're reading about Daniel, Apostle Paul, somebody. We just read straight through. And they remember it too. They remember the Bible stories. Folks, the other thing that you want to build into their life besides that knowledge of the truth of Jesus is structure. Structure. Kids want structure of all ages. Now, they'll try to convince you that they don't. They don't know anything, okay? You know? Structure. Teenagers, the one thing that teenagers cry out for more than anything else is they want structure in their life. It tells them that somebody loves me. Do you know one of the bigger, another big epidemic in our culture today? Couch surfing. You know what that is? That's a kid, a teenager, who's been kicked out of the house and sleeps on a different couch every night of the week. Couch surfing. Because his parents or her parents don't want her around anymore. And they want that structure in their life, knowing there's somebody that loves me. You give them those two things, a knowledge and a love for Jesus and structure, and you're not going to fail at this parenting gig. Okay? You can do all the short courses you want, folks, but that's in a nutshell right there. That will do it. But we're also fear rejection, that we're going to be rejected by a spouse, by a husband or by a wife. I could solve that one for you too. Not I, but I'd learn how. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, respect your husbands. Done! I've not bumped into one situation in this going 25 to 30 years, and oh, the folks that have been coming down the pipeline in those years, that right there, one of those was broken. A wife who didn't respect a husband, or a husband who didn't love his wife. I guarantee you, the husband who's not respected by his wife is going to feel rejected, and the wife who is not loved by her husband is going to feel rejected. And Jesus said, my peace I give to you, I'm going to cure the troubled heart, and I'm going to drive away the fear of being rejected, the fear of being a failure as a parent. You didn't see all that in here, did you? Huh? That's what he's talking about, in part. We're also afraid we're going to be rejected by the world, that we're not going to get invited to the next big social event or whatever it is. Okay? Can I give you a clue, follower of Jesus? If you are not rejected by that group, you better watch how you're walking. Marvel not if the world hates you, Jesus said. It hated me first. You're not going to get invited to all the stuff if you're walking the same way they're walking. You'll get invited then. But if you're walking contrary to that, they don't want you around. You're reminding them of what they don't have or what's wrong in their life. Does that make sense? Huh? So Jesus said, my peace drives away fear. My peace eradicates a troubled heart. We close this morning. That's the secret to Jesus' peace. That's what it does. Now the security of peace. Look at verses 28 to 31. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. He keeps bringing that up, doesn't he? If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. If you love me, you would have rejoiced that I'm going to the Father. That would be your source of rejoicing, for the Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. We've contrasted this morning the world's peace with Jesus' peace. The world's peace is based on stuff and status and safety. That's how you get peace from the world. You always got to keep it plugged in. Jesus' peace is based on His Word, His presence through the Holy Spirit, and the eradication of fear and a troubled heart. How do you find this? Jesus said in verse 28, I'm going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, and the Father is greater than I. That's how you find this peace that He's talking about. He said, up until now, I've been your security. I've been bodily present with you, and He had for 3 years. I've been your source of peace. That's all that they knew. Folks, think about what it was like to walk with Jesus. Right there with Him. I mean, this is the guy that walked on water. This is the guy that raised dead people. And you're with Him. You're right next to Him. You're going to live in perpetual peace. He's got it covered. And now He's telling them, I'm leaving. I'm going away. But the promise was that I am going away. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Well, how can you pull that off, Jesus, if you're leaving? We know what it was like when you were here, but how are you going to pull that off? Your peace is now based on the fact, listen, I will come to you, that I am going to the Father, this is your source of peace, and that I will ask the Father, and He will send another helper. You see? You don't lose the peace because I'm leaving. I know how important peace is in your life, and I'm going to send another helper. And have you read closely the attributes of the helper? Love, joy, peace. You see it? If you are in Christ Jesus today, the helper is in you, and one of His attributes is peace. If you do not have peace, and you know you're a follower of Jesus Christ, is He being quenched in your life? Have you opted for those habit patterns of the old life that are so easy to do sometimes? You know, like worry and fear and all those kind of things. Where do those things come from? They don't come from Jesus. They're the antithesis of peace. You don't have to walk in them, believer. The world has no choice. That's the way they operate. But in our lives, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are indwelt by the Helper, and one of His attributes is peace. Get out of the way and just let Him be peace. Kind of crude, but that's what happens. You see, in any situation, we yield to the Holy Spirit and find peace, or we quench the Holy Spirit, and we try to grab hold of that habit pattern from the world, that world's peace, that's just going to come unplugged. Any takers today? Would you like for your life going forward to be a life of peace? Hey, think about it, folks. I know where we live, okay? We get up in the morning and it seems like it starts, doesn't it? that barrage of stuff, all of which, in one way or another, attacks the peace. Do we have to live that way? Not according to Jesus. Absolutely not. My peace I give to you. Let's pray. Father, we're fascinated this morning at the possibility, no, the reality, of knowing that you want us to live in peace, come what may. Father, I was so encouraged as Nathan shared a minute ago about this man far off land, and he knew he had no peace in his life. He had bumped up against some of the world's most popular religions, and he didn't find it there. And what he was looking for, he found in one place, and one place only. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And Father, every person in the world is looking for the same thing that man in Iran was looking for. Peace. And every person in this room, oh, how we want peace in our lives. Maybe it's a turmoil in a marriage. Maybe it's situation with children or parents, whatever the relationship might be. Maybe it's on the job. Maybe it's no, whatever it is. The peace that Jesus was promising passes all understanding. So, Father, I pray this morning, if there is anyone here who has never believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they want to call a halt to this chaos and turmoil in their life, and they want the peace that we talked about this morning, I pray today would be the day that they believe. For every believer in this room, Father, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but simply not availing themselves of His power in their life. Father, what a tragedy that a person who knows Jesus would live in a way that's the opposite of peace. It just can't be. It must not be. Father, I pray that any person here fitting that description this morning would come back to that Calvary. They would start again. Lord, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have done that. I am your child. And I want the peace that you give, that I've not accepted in my life thus far. Or maybe I used to and I want to again. I don't know what it is, Father, but your design for our lives, I know this, Lord, is that we know peace, regardless of circumstances. Father, we love you. We thank you. Prince of Peace, may you be glorified this morning.